Welcome to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. In this message from Isaiah chapter 40, we're reminded that how we view God shapes how we face life's hardest seasons. When everything feels overwhelming and God seems distant, Isaiah calls us to behold the greatness of our God, His strength, His gentleness, and His care. Whether we're soaring or stumbling, He never leaves His children. Here is Pastor Gary Walton.
I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. A.W. Tozer said that what you believe about God is the most important thing about you. And what he means is that everything that you do, what you think, what you feel, how you act, everything about you is impacted by your view of God, whether you realize it or not. And everybody has some view of God. My burden is that we could get just a little picture of the greatness of God, and that little picture would ignite a spark, and that we could then fan it into a flame, and that flame would just grow and grow and grow in depth as you learn, as we learn together how to hunger to know God. I think that's what God's word calls us to. And we're going to take our time and we're going to dig in and we're going to find out what God's word has to say, because at the very foundation of life, everything about us is impacted by this thing that we're talking about, by what we view and what we think about God. We're going to go to what I think are some of the highest peaks in all of the scripture as they relate to God's revealing of himself. And they're found in the book of Isaiah. Faith in my oldest child is 25 years old. Matt is 25 years old. I know that we do not look old enough to have a 25-year-old. Thank you for saying that. We appreciate that. One of my absolute favorite books that we got when Matt was just little was this one. Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Anybody familiar with this book? All right, thank you. I appreciate that. So it begins with his morning thoughts. I went to sleep with gum in my mouth, and now there's gum in my hair. And when I got out of bed this morning, I tripped on the skateboard, and by mistake, I dropped my sweater in the sink while the water was running, and I could tell it was going to be a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. The story goes on to talk about his terrible day at school, his horrible visit to the dentist, his no good trip to the shoe store. And after all these events, he continues, "There was lima beans for dinner, and I hate limas. My bath was too hot, I got soap in my eyes, and my marble went down the drain, and I had to wear my railroad train pajamas. I hate my railroad train pajamas. When I went to bed, Nick took back the pillow he said I could keep, and the Mickey Mouse nightlight burned out, and I bit my tongue. And the cat wants to sleep with Anthony and not with me. It has been a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day." And it's not surprising that at the end of the book, Alexander says, "I think I should move to Australia." I don't know if anybody here has ever had a day like that. When everything that can go wrong does go wrong. And some of us have not just had bad days like that, but we've had bad weeks and bad months, and maybe even for some years when it just seemed like one thing after the other crashed into the safe and secure structures of our lives. I mean, we think about our lives and you think about your own situation, and there are many here that have had seasons of personal and family catastrophes. You've watched maybe as your house burned, or you had some major car accident. You lost a job, or you had some health problems that depleted your resources. I'm sure that there are some here that have experienced the pain and devastation of divorce or separation in your family, and you know the pain that that causes and the long-lasting impact. You've agonized through some lonely times in your life, or maybe you felt the loss of a loved one, and you know what it means to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I know that some of these things are part of my story. And if you're like me, you've probably found yourself wondering at some point along the way, does anybody even know what I'm going through? And God, why are you letting this stuff happen? I mean, don't I get a break in here? Why does it seem like one thing after another? Why are you allowing this to happen? So we're going to look this morning at one of my favorite chapters, this Isaiah chapter 40. We're going to start at the end of the chapter as we look through some key verses and then sort of back up the bus a little bit into the earlier verses. But I want to begin reading in verse 27. The prophet Isaiah says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, that my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God?" That's the question, right? That's what we're talking about. Did you know that you are not the first person to ever feel like this? We're not the first generation that ever had any questions like this. I mean, for centuries, humans have been asking this same question that we found written in verse 27. Does God really care about me? Surely God has no idea what's going on in my life, or he would have never allowed this situation. And my judgment is passed over. Literally, the words mean my cause is disregarded. Not only does God not know who I am or what's going on, but if he does, he has totally disregarded my situation. I mean, these guys, the nation of Israel that we're talking about here in Isaiah's writing to, they had a very legitimate question. I mean, their situation was that they were living in exile from the land that had been given to them by God. They expected to be living in the promised land, and instead, during this time frame, they were away from their homes and their families. They were enslaved and humiliated. So it's not as if these people that Isaiah is writing to, they had legitimate questions. They had legitimate situations going on in their life. So the question is, we can understand what they're asking. We get it, right? We've lived this. Hey, God, do you see what's happening here? I think that's what verse 27 says. And so in the next four verses, and I said, we'll look at these verses, and at the same time, we'll back up. I think Isaiah gives four answers to their question, and here they are. We're just going to work through them. Number one, God is absolutely big enough to handle every situation that you will ever face. First part of verse 28 says this, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator," stop. Look back at verse 21. Does that look familiar? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? What should they have gotten that he's trying to repeat to them? Isaiah's saying, you need to know about God. They need to be confronted again and reminded again about who God is and what he's like and how he acts. When we come to these points in our lives where we have all of these things crashing and we wonder what we're supposed to do and does God even care, Isaiah says, man, you got to go back to what you believe about God. So let's go ahead and do that. Let's back up a little bit more. In fact, I'm going to go all the way back to verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Listen to this. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, what? Behold your God. In fact, I love this. I wish I had one of those great big booming bass voices. We could ask the sound guys if they could add, you know, a little more bass and reverb to my voice, and we could say, "Behold your God. Lift it up on the mountains. Don't be afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, look to your God. Behold your God." Verse 10. "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and he shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." It seems to me that a lot of people know either the God of verse 10 or the God of verse 11. Do you notice sort of the contrast that the writer gives us? Both are true. Both are powerful. Verse 10 describes the strong arm of God. Have you ever experienced the strong arm of God in your life? That reached out to you with a firmness that said, "Get it right, get with it, live right." If you have, that's good. But that's not all you should know. Because verse 11, God is also like a shepherd. And he's scooping up his arms and he's carrying them close to him. And he's giving special treatment and care for those that are hurting and those that are wounded. And listen, you don't know God if you haven't experienced and acknowledged both of these arms. The right arm of God that sometimes comes to us and says, "Man, get it right. And if you don't, there's going to be trouble." But also the arm of God that comes to you as a gentle shepherd and lifts us up when we're wounded and hurting. And both of these things give us the character of the God of the Bible. So most people here probably believe in God. If you're here this morning and you don't, I just want to tell you, I'm so glad that you're here. But probably most people in the room believe in God. And what I'm suggesting this morning is that a lot of people have a very small God. Their God is so small that he can get shoved into a little corner of our lives and just pulled out every once in a while, maybe when we come to church. Listen, if you're here this morning and your whole week has had very little God in it. And what I mean by that is that you didn't think much about God, you didn't consider how God was impacting your life, you didn't wonder and you didn't pray or spend time in his word, but really if you think about it, God wasn't really part of your week until now again. Then I would tell you, you have a very small God. If your God is not big enough to encompass more of your week than just the time that we come together in this place, then he must be, in your mind at least, small enough that he can kind of get shoved into little corners of our lives. And when we have a very small God, then we have a very surface faith and very little passion for God and for spiritual things. So let Isaiah tell us this morning about this big God. And I think Isaiah calls out three examples of the awesomeness of God. And I'm just going to go through these quickly. Number one, Isaiah says he is the creator of the whole earth. And we're going to see it in multiple places in this text. Verse 28 has the word creator. But let me read let me read 21 and 22, and then we'll back up one more. 21 says this: "Have you not heard? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth?" Verse 22, "It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth." I mean, this is a big God. "And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in." And I want you to go back to verse 12. who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven, the heavens with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." He gives this illustration, the first part, about the waters and the hollow of his hand. I mean, take out your hand and sort of, you know how you make a little cup with your hand? We call that the hollow of your hand. Have you ever tried to get a drink of water with the hollow of your hand like this? Probably most of us have done that. You don't get a lot of water, do you? This is what Isaiah says. He says, God took all of the waters of all of the earth. I mean, out here on the island, right, we know what it means to have a lot of water around us. God took all of that and he held it in the hollow of his hand, and then he like spread it out and he said, yep, that looks like that's about enough. That's a big God. And he meted out the heavens with the span. Again, I said, you know, a lot of measurements in Bible times were used with your hand, and a span is the distance in between, you know, your little finger and your thumb. This is a span, a space. And Isaiah says, the heavens, let me just tell you this morning, the heavens are really, 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 really big. And Isaiah says, God took his hand and he spread it out with a span, and that encompassed all of the heavens, and he flung them out there. And he comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, in a cup, in a measuring cup, all of the dust of, think about that, all of the dust of all of the earth. It's like God put it in a little measuring cup and then he flung it out on the earth, and he said, yep, that looks like to be about enough. And he weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. He said, the Rockies, I'm just going to throw them out over here, and the Himalayas, I'm just going to place them right there, all around the earth, every mountain range. He just put it out there in the balance and in scales. Listen, if you feel small when you imagine God's creation, it's because you are. In fact, God says that we're like grasshoppers. Listen, there's a very important correlating link between your view of God and your view of yourself. If we don't understand that, and I know I'm just brushing the surface of the immensity of God, I know that I can't even begin to try to describe it to you, but if we could get just a little glimpse this morning of how awesome and how big and how mighty our God is, it will put everything else in a better perspective for us. You see, people who have a big view of themselves and how important they are usually have a little view of God. But if you get a big view of God, if you stand out some night underneath the stars and you look out over the immensity of the heavens and you realize that my God put them out there like a span. If you know, if you've experienced, if you've walked with and understand a God like that, then I become very, very small. And listen, it's very, very important, this correlating link between how big you see God and how big you see yourself, because you're going to go through tough times. And when you go through tough times, your view of God is going to be so important. If you have a little God, you're going to have big problems. But if you have a big God, then you are going to have little problems. So we're going to have trouble. It's not a matter of more trouble or less trouble. The matter is, if our God is big, then our perspective of the life that we're living becomes into focus, and our problems do not consume us and overwhelm us. Does that make sense? So number one, he is the creator of the whole earth. Example number two, he says the heavens are his handiwork. We've already talked about it, but verses 25 and 26 describe this. Verse 22, sort of the end of it, he stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The heavens are his handiwork. Number three, the nations are his domain. Verse 17 says, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. Verse 23 says, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And again, we don't have time to spend a lot on this, but I know that our world, the nations of our world, can be so confusing to us and sometimes overwhelming. And I just want to tell you again this morning that God is in control of the nations. And he just blows. And a world power is gone. And I just want to tell you this morning that God is absolutely, he is absolutely big enough to handle every situation that you face. Number two, I want to tell you this. Actually, Isaiah wants to tell you this from the text. God never gets tired of caring for you. Verse 28b, second part of it says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is weary. When you're looking at all these things in your life and you're wondering, what's going on? Does God know? Does God care? Is he here? I want you to know that God is big enough to handle every situation that you're facing, and God is never tired of caring for you. In fact, it's really more than the idea that he never gets tired of caring for you. He never gets tired. Number three, God understands every piece of every situation that you're facing. The end of verse 28 says, there is no searching of his understanding. God is not so caught up with running the universe that he has forgotten how you feel. He's not forgotten what you're going through. Isaiah says his understanding is unsearchable. You cannot understand how much God understands. That's what Isaiah says. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. It is no disgrace, my friends, my brothers and sisters, it is no disgrace to be without strength. That's normal life. I'm pretty sure that there are some of you that walked in here this morning and you're just without strength. You're worn out. And Isaiah says, it's inevitable that even the strongest, even the youngest, there are going to be some times where we just have nothing left. In fact, I know that often in my own life, I think God purposefully gets me to that point. He gets me to the point where I have nothing left, so I'll stop relying on my own strength to get done what I need to get done. He brings me to the point where there's nothing left, and then it can only be him, right? Then it's only him. And then our premier verse, familiar to for many of us. Verse 31, he giveth power to the faint, right? If you're tired, God will give you strength. To them that have no might, he increaseth strength. If you have nothing left, he will give it to you. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. You don't have to be embarrassed that you walked in here this morning and you feel like you got nothing left. It happens to everybody, but here's the good news. Here's the hope, because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And all God's people said, amen. Renew means to make new again, to replenish, to start over. And this means that God is willing to take you right where you're at. You don't have to take some steps up to get to some level where you can finally allow God to, you know, to take you from there. That's not what he says. The only condition is that we look to him for help, that we would wait, those that wait upon the Lord. So I told you at the beginning that this is one of these mountaintop texts in the Bible. You know, really the mountain is where we go to get perspective, right? And it's so great and the view is so awesome. Up on the mountain, up above the trees, you know, we're able to look out and see the whole thing. Down below, you know, sometimes it gets confusing and we can't see the whole picture. But up on the mountain, there's like a perspective of the whole picture that just lays out in front of us. As you know, life isn't only lived up on the mountain. A lot of the mountain trails, we can only see around the next bend in the trail. We don't get the whole scene in front of us. And sometimes in life, we have to walk through some of the valleys. And sometimes they're lonely and sometimes they're dark and we don't really know what's around the corner. And we can't sometimes even see one step in front of us. And sometimes it feels like we are all alone. This is what Isaiah is trying to say. And I think he's saying you are not alone. The same God that was with you up on that mountain and allowed you to see his awesomeness and his bigness and his care and his love, that same God is walking with you today. He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten about you. It is not that he doesn't understand what you're going through. He is walking with you. So let me ask you this morning. Is this the God that you know?
Thanks for listening to Pacific Hope with Pastor Gary Walton. Pacific Hope is a production of Harvest Baptist Church and Harvest Family Radio. If you'd like to learn more about Harvest Baptist Church, visit hbcguam.org. To learn more about Harvest Family Radio or Pacific Hope, visit khmg.org. Harvest Ministries is located on Guam and exists to help people develop a heart for God. It is our hope that this message has played a part in doing just that. Again, thanks for listening to this episode of Pacific Hope.